Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Well, good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing very well today. How about you?
I'm doing well, thanks. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about the solar eclipse from yesterday, I believe, September 13th, and the 2-year, 2-month, and 28-day cycle. The union of matter, mind, and spirit has a gestation period to give birth to an expanded sense of self. When the sun, moon, and earth are all in alignment, it creates an opportunity to impregnate the seed of consciousness. We will talk about how the practice of Kriya Yoga enables an individual to internalize the life force and initiate the process. This process is called apotheosis, the process of the human to become divine. Because it is a process, Swami will discuss the dates of this particular eclipse so you can follow along. So join us in the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and initiate your own process. So Swami, where do we begin?
Well, I think by starting to unpack the eclipse itself, that this particular chart for this eclipse that we have in Hampton, New Hampshire, the eclipse itself, the lunation, took place in the second house. And the second house is your house of values, the things that we esteem as most important. And when you think about the whole concept of Kriya Yoga, is really about elevating this concept of a divinity to its position of importance that it warrants in our value systems. Mm. One of the things that we always say, to be successful in life, you put God first. And that could be a very confusing statement because for some people, God is an astral image. But we're more attuned to the physics of spirituality, that God is in some cosmic puppeteer, but it is actually the force right now supporting my life. And it translates into your number one need, the thing that is the most important to sustain your life. But it's invisible and it's intangible. And that's one of the reasons why I really found yoga to be so helpful, was because we use our number two life-sustaining force, breath, kind of like to give tangibility to this concealed deity, to this invisible, intangible source, which then enables us to internalize it. Because this whole concept of matter and mind coming together with this energy field is what yoga is all about. And that's what produces this progressive cycle that actually changes who we are. It initiates what, like we said in the opening, apotheosis, the process of us becoming divine. But if you don't understand what it is that you're trying to connect to, then it can become very ambiguous. It can become very confusing. And one of the biggest problems with a metaphysical or a mystical system is when you are mistaking the impermanent for the permanent, which in the Yoga Sutras was referred to as avidya, ignorance.
I have a question for you. You were talking about the second house meaning values, and that's whatever we place our values on. My question is, do the eclipses and what's going on astrologically, does it bring things into us in the forefront, like universally, or is it something that we have to come from ourselves and understand it's the second house and that we have to look inward for it? Like, are there signs out there that tells us that this is what we should be looking for?
Well, to try and answer your question, I think that collectively the eclipse is an amplifier, and there are very generic things about any transit that's going on. But then there are also things that are going to be very individual to each person. So where this particular eclipse falls in your chart and what planets or sensitive points in your chart it may aspect, because it is an amplifier. It will emphasize, and it may not fall in your second house, because I'm looking at the chart of the eclipse from Hampton, New Hampshire. So again, it's gonna have similar attributes to it, and there will be things about it that will be generic, but then of course there will be things that will be very individual for each person.
So that all comes under the heading of maybe our path of knowledge, us trying to understand who we are, what we are, where we come from, and then using the labyrinth as a tool, and even what we're talking about here, the celestial positionings to enable us to head on this path of apotheosis.
Right, and I think one of the biggest things that you have to understand is that the transit is not going to produce apotheosis for you. That was the one thing that the alchemists, I think, understood really clearly. That greater human potential was something that it was our responsibility to unlock. That we have to initiate it. That it doesn't happen instinctually. Because that was what their whole position was, is that the concept of God wasn't perfect because nature, God's creation, wasn't perfect, and that God depended upon the human to help make nature, God's creation, perfect, which basically means that we are not some lowly worm of a creature seeking redemption, but we are an intricate part of this evolution of consciousness. But we have to be taught how to do this, because if we just live instinctually by thinking, breathing, eating, sleeping, and fornicating, we will survive, but we will not grow. And so we do need leadership. And we have to, like you said, your path of knowledge is you have to understand what it is that you're trying to do. That you're trying to separate from a source of sustenance that is limiting and connect to one that is expanding. And the term in the religious communities was called conversion. You're trying to convert yourself from a human being that will seek out either particles or waves and now seeks out this indivisible unified state, this void or this nothing that underlies matter and mind. But to answer your question, the transit does not produce that or make that happen for you. The transit produces an opportunity for you to make that happen for yourself, if that helps.
It does. I'm wondering now about the gestation period, where we say it's a 2-year, 2-month, and 28-day cycle. So can a person achieve this liberation in that time period, and what should we be doing throughout this gestation period?
Well, to answer your question, you can actually give birth to a new consciousness in 2 years, 2 months, and 28 days. But if you notice, it seems like we're having these solar eclipses a couple of times a year. So it's not just like something that you do and you get the T-shirt and it's all over. It is an ongoing developmental process of integration and assimilation and identification with these aspects of our total conscious makeup. But if you haven't done one yet, you know, it's that initial one that I think really requires strict attention to a complete holistic health management system. And there's a lot of preparatory work that must be in place in order to rebirth your physical body in this other source of sustenance. The whole concept of purifying your body of its dependency upon particles and waves. And then the invocation of something that's invisible and intangible into the body. But when that happens, which is what the eclipse symbolizes, that the sun, the moon, and the earth are all in alignment. Matter, mind, and spirit have now come together. That is what initiates this progressive cycle. And that will be on a 2-year, 2-month, and 28-day gestation period. Now, as long as you can sustain that connection for that amount of time, your mind will open to a degree that it will not go back to where it originally came from. It will not shrink back to where it was when we first started.
Now, when we're going through this gestation period, I know there are other points throughout the 2 years, 2 months and 28 days, where there are certain like benchmarks throughout the process. Should we be paying? Should we be paying attention to those particular benchmarks throughout that process and enabling us to keeping forward, you know, towards that path?
Yeah, that I think is quite helpful if you are what we call plotting the eclipse and you're looking at, like we said, the dates that we use. Because this particular eclipse, the actual eclipse happened yesterday. And that's what's called the new moon, which is a new beginning. You know, it's a fresh start. And then the next thing that you could look for is the first quarter phase of the moon that is associated with the eclipse point. Because if you plot the eclipse in an ephemeris, the phases of the moon that correspond with this particular eclipse point, going from the new moon to the third quarter phase of the moon is 2 years, 2 months, and 28 days. So the first quarter phase of the moon will happen on June 12th, 2016. Then the full moon phase will happen on March 12th, 2017. And the third quarter phase will happen on December 10th, 2017. And those will be important parts in being able to understand the theme of this particular eclipse, this eclipse cycle for you individually.
So we should use the practice of journaling. I know you encourage your students to do that, and that would help us keep us on pace, or at least be able to, for us to be able to have something to look back to kind of see what was going on during those particular benchmarks throughout that period.
Yeah, the journal is an important tool. Because just like we always say, the oldest ink is better than the best memory.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can go to the day and you can see what your dreams were, you can see what your inner inventory was, you can see events that happened during these times that help you try and connect the dots.
All right, great. We'll have more questions for you when we come back from our break to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you shortly, and we'll probably open up for some questions when we come back.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods, a complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.iptransform.com. Namaste.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So I'd like to open up, I know we have some callers out there this morning, and to see if anybody has any questions for Swami regarding the new moon eclipse we just had.
I have a question.
Okay, hang on 1 second, please.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Kenny. My question for you is that, is there any impact if part of what we're trying to gestate is an understanding of various relationships that we may have with family members, for example? Do you have any thoughts or advice of how this solar eclipse could be impactful in trying to help relationships move forward with family members?
Well, to answer your question, the way that it would work the best is if you totally establish yourself in a primary relationship with your divinity. Because one of the reasons why our interpersonal relationships are so challenged today is because they have deteriorated into control dramas, that we're actually competing for energy on a very limited level. See, when you have a primary relationship with your divinity, you're not drawing off of interpersonal relationships, that you're actually in a position where you're able to give out without any need for a return. That objectivity puts you in a position of strength at all times. So again, using your metaphysical or mystical system to help you establish this primary relationship with your divinity, with this inexhaustible resource, is optimal for all relationships. Does that answer your question or help?
I think that if an individual feels as if they're in a better objective position than they were, let's say, you know, from years past, is there any type of help or guidance, or is it just being a role model for other family members to have them try and connect as well?
Yeah, that is probably one of the most difficult things, is that, especially with family members, because you're emotionally invested and you're karmically connected. So we want everybody to be doing the very best that they can. And if they do not take the initiative to make this internal connection, then it can be frustrating for us. Mm-hmm. And just like you said, I think the only thing that you can do at that point is to be an example, because you really can't impose this on somebody. And one of the things that I always found was that the physics of spirituality is like attracts like. And people that draw from either particles or waves, humans that are not growing psychologically and spiritually, are threatened by those that are. And oftentimes they will actually attack you. And a lot of times they will actually try and undermine what it is that you're doing. And you find it really kind of surprising that this is happening. But it is basically the physics of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I always try and do is I try and use humor a lot, because I find that it kind of softens kind of the shame that they're going through, the guilt that they feel, because they haven't separated from this original pattern that we come in with. And the only thing, you know, apart from that I find that I try and do is just be an example. And if somebody asks you, then of course you can give them what it is that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the only other thing is that trying to be an example, you know, that's probably the only thing that I ever really try and do, if that helps.
Yes, thanks.
Okay, well, thanks for your question.
Thank you.
I find something that is a challenging aspect of spiritual development is to keep moving forward, and you want to bring people along with you, you know, you want to get other people involved, because if, you know, when you find it enriches your life, you want other people to experience the same thing. And so that was very interesting that you had said that. And I think it's important that we ourselves, as we're going on this path, that we stay on this path and try not to let these other external forces kind of veer us off our way.
Oh, absolutely, because those are some of the things that we say. In order to be spiritual, you have to be sensitive enough to hear the call and strong enough to walk a solitary path. But that's somewhat misleading, because what I don't think a lot of us understand is that when you make this conversion, I always think of, was it the 23rd Psalm? You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When all of a sudden you make this conversion and you're connected to something, it's pure, it's powerful, it's sacred, it's not going anywhere, and you have the benefit of internal support. And like you said, you have so much enthusiasm about sharing this with other people, and it is met with this stiff arm in front because they're not interested. And I've always found that to be somewhat shocking. You know, it's like, why wouldn't you want this? But it took me a long time to figure out the whole physics of the whole thing. There's that old saying, misery loves company. Mm-hmm. Like attracts like. Birds of a feather flock together. And when you make this conversion and you experience the changes of it, you want to share it. But you also recognize that it is scary, mm-hmm, to those that have opted to stay with what's safe, familiar, comfortable, and known.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you say that. Just real quick, I read a story years ago about this gal, and she got transported into this other world, and And she was told in order for her to get home, she had to stay on this path. Don't veer off the path no matter what happens. If you stay on the path, you'll be safe and you'll get to your final destination. And then inadvertently, she lets distractions come and she veers off the path. And she ends up coming back on the path. But to make a long story short, she ends up staying on the path and she ends up going home. So it just kind of reminded me of this whole thing. If we just stay on our path, don't let these external environments or people or whatever veer us off, we'll end up getting home. We'll end up getting to that final destination. You know, we'll get what we want. And like you say, birds of a feather stick together, and that's why it's so important to be a part of a group of people who are also doing the same thing, like the Theory 2 classes on Thursday night, where we can talk about these challenges and you know, how can we be the example for our loved ones and friends that we know would benefit from this wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, and I think also understanding more so from the perspective, because one of the things that happens with internal support is that you don't need external reinforcement anymore. You don't need their approval. So it doesn't deteriorate into a control drama. You're no longer competing for energy on that limited level. The term in yoga was called detachment, objectivity, so that you can discuss what it is that you're doing, and it doesn't get emotionally charged because I need for you to do what it is that I'm doing, which is what happens when we are competing and we are stuck in these control dramas. And everything becomes emotionally charged. This is much more harmonious. It's much more rational.
Earlier you had talked about that we have to have this purification of the body, but also like purification of our thoughts too, right? And our speech and whatever it is that we do every day, we have to have this sense of purity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think what a lot of us don't understand is that it's not a conduct thing. That it's basic physics. It's humans that are in this adult state become of what's called a divine nature. That you actually become virtuous by nature. That's very different than trying to be virtuous while you are still drawing from the realms of duality, particles or waves, fear and limitation. That becomes a Herculean task, and it's constant failure that we're constantly dealing with. It's abstaining. It's a struggle. It's hard. When you make the conversion, it's a substitution. You're using a different source of sustenance to validate yourself. You're actually indulging yourself in the life force. And that's a big part of what you want to start to make work for you with this particular eclipse.
Well, great information. Can you believe it's that time already to start closing down our program? So I'd like to invite you listeners out there to please visit our website. You can follow us on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook, of course. And also available to all of our listeners are the online classes that you can access through our website, www.ipdtransform.com. But keep those comments and questions and curiosities coming, because Swami does enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week. We will celebrate the United Nations International Day of Peace, but Kriya Yoga style. So that's going to be really fun. So, Swami, any final thoughts that you have on today's show or next week?
Well, I would like to say that I did post all of the dates for that particular eclipse on the website, and all of the aspects of the sun and Mars to that eclipse point for that 2 year, 2 month, and 28 day, the hard aspects. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you. And don't forget, if you can get a chance to look at the celestial positioning system too online, we should have a great day today. And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.